You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
No, I'm glad to. It's for minorities, but white people don't be scared. Asians, Hispanics, you want to come on the show, hit us up. I'll talk to anybody about everything.
These niggas is out here fucking these girls and putting it on Pornhub. At 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday with a heart on, she gets up and she turns on the church. I thought I'm going to get some head or something start today. Niggas is straight out here raw dicking and choking motherfuckers.
What are you doing?
If God has his hand on you, why you sitting?
That was pretty good, man. It just kind of came
out.
You
can't be squeamish when giving head. I mean, you got a dick in your mouth. Like, how much more gutter can you be?
Right, like. Yeah. Period, point blank, just what it is.
The reality is.
Have you ever cheated on somebody?
No.
I have.
We know.
I never wanted to cheat on anybody.
Shit happens, right?
I never did.
So if we have a little bit more, you know, people who have a little bit more can give a little bit of time to people who have a little bit less.
Yeah.
We can equalize the situation, and one day, you know, regardless of what the government does, we will have systems in place to take care of ourselves.
You are now listening to The Reality Is. The Reality Is.
And, I mean, that's...
Testing there.
Yeah. And the testing is literally just starting the podcast, going right on into it, and just seeing what happens. But today is, to me, it's a special podcast. It's a special podcast. I mean, we always got Frank on. You know what I'm saying? Frank is like
always around.
He's like Urkel to The Reality Is. You know what I'm saying?
Can like I be just, like Stefan Urkel?
Yeah, you could be like him. He was a little bit more smoother.
He
so yeah,
real, I, he's
yeah,
way smoother.
He was way smoother than Steve. So I do have Miss Ashley Sarai, and you were on episode like 71 or something
71.
Like that. And when we did it, we did a phone interview. You were in Tulsa, so you're in town now. Hey, but it wasn't that bad though. People liked it. So it's all good, but we got you in here. You were here for the Texas and OU weekend, being an Oklahoma alumni.
OU Texas weekend.
Yeah.
OU Texas.
Get it right. Oh, I said Texas OU.
Yes.
Oh, that's like motherfuckers saying Bumpton. You know what I'm saying? Don't put no C's in my shit. You know what I'm saying? So we got a lot of shit we're going to talk about today, man. But I just want to say I'm excited. We having a little get together here. It just kind of turned into one. You know, it happened like that last year. Ashley came down. And we was like, hey, let's get together, you know, get people from the group me who hang out, and let's get together. You know, for the people who not here in the group me, I'll go ahead and apologize. You're going to see pictures and stuff. This literally wasn't planned to get to a bigger thing. But, you know, we glad it happened. Brandon, he threw down with the tacos, and everything is good.
Them tacos was off the hook, too.
They were.
Yeah, I wish I could have another one, but supplies are low.
So on episode 141 with Shauna Monahan, you know, that was my Freaky Friday episode. Had you got a chance to listen to it yet?
Not all of it.
Okay, had you started?
I had not.
Okay, it was a great podcast. Frisco? Frisco sex therapist.
Yes.
Nigga said Freaky Frisco.
Freaky Frisco. It
works. Frank and these Fs.
It works.
So, but you know, the crazy thing about it was I took a picture of her, and we took a picture together, and it was a picture with me holding the dildo that she had brought that night. But it's so crazy the feedback that I got on social media from that picture. Like, when I take pictures like that, I just think, oh, it's funny. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's nothing.
Just cupping the balls.
Man, I even had... Now, people did make fun of me for doing that, like Frank. You know what I'm saying? But it was other people, like my African-American professor, you know, from back in the day. And she was like, she was like, I don't even know what to say, but it's pictures like this. She's like, I won't say anything. She was like, I'll just say the brothers used to be hung for, you know, being this close to a woman, white woman back in the day. And I was just like...
Okay.
Damn, I just got through talking about it. I'm tired of being woke, bro. I mean, and we all in this movement. I know, you know, with you, Ashley, you know, you're strong in this. And I just asked somebody the other day, like, how tiring is it, though, to be woke all the time? I'm always finding fault in everything.
Yeah. Ooh, and it's interesting you said woke is finding fault versus just being aware.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, when I saw the picture, my mind said, get out! Because her hair...
I was just standing there, like, holding the dick.
But it wasn't like
I got this nigga.
Cupping the balls.
Yeah. It definitely was symbolic, but I didn't fault you for the picture, but it did evoke memories of, like, a Becky...
Yes.
That's crazy, though.
Well, just the way society is. Becky, you know, white girl, you're holding the dick, talking about sex, that type of thing.
And the way the hair was tousled, just so.
Yeah. See these words, tousled. I love. I just, you know, when I have a conversation with her, it's just like I'm intrigued.
Writing shit down.
I'm intrigued by the words, bro. Even when she texts me, sometimes she'll use a word, and I'm like, Motherfucking ass.
Dictionary.
But the thing I like about it when you do it is, like, some people you could tell they forcing it, like, you know, Stephen A. Smith, you know, throw something out there. But, you know, you could tell they're trying to plug these mega words into, like, yeah. It's like, you don't even, you're talking about sports.
Yes.
We don't need to, I mean, equilibrium is high as it should go in your dictionary.
I usually, when I use, like, a word, like, that's a big word, I usually call it a Stephen A-ism. Because he uses a lot of big words, which is cool. You know, yeah. I'm good with that because I learn a lot when I'm like, oh shit, what
let me go
mean?
Check it out. Let me see what he's talking
and
about.
I start to use it.
So Halloween coming up, bro. And when I was thinking about Halloween the other day, I was like, okay, my birthday is a week before Halloween. Mm-hmm. But Halloween for me, when I thought about it, I was just talking to somebody the other day. I was like, first off, the fair is always in October. Mm-hmm. I've never been to the fair.
Never.
Then I thought about it. I was like, let's go further. I've never trick-or-treated, bro.
Oh, really?
Never.
I'm sorry.
Because I've said on the podcast before, I was raised with parents who were, you know, uber strict and uber religious. So they felt like any kind of worshiping of that holiday was like worshiping the devil.
Mm.
You know, and I go back and I look at it now and I'm like, that's bullshit. You know, I don't know. But they always used to invite us to the church. You know, you go to the church, you bring candy and you're doing all that stuff. You know, you play football with the kids. But I feel like a lot of times, like, I still feel like that part of my childhood was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was thinking, I was like, how is everybody else's experience with Halloween? Do you celebrate it? Like, I've never, like, as an adult or, like, teenager to an adult, I've never dressed up for Halloween. I've never went to, like, a Halloween party because it's one of those things where it was, like, a learned behavior to where I didn't carry it on to celebrate it as an adult.
Got you.
Don't know what to do with that. Did you celebrate it on your, did you actually
We didn't celebrate it. We dressed up. Like, I think about, you know, we lived in Wake Village when I was younger, which is a small town in Texarkana.
Yeah.
And we would walk from door to door and it was, you know, safe and people would scare us. That's the one memory I have as a young person. But then, you know, the scare of your candy being poisoned.
Like, oh, razors. Back in the day, they was talking about razors and apples. Candy.
I'm so paranoid. I was just like, I'll just buy a bag of candy. I don't need this.
Niggas ain't doing that shit, though.
What's that, Halloween or what?
I ain't never known no black people, like, fucking up with kids' candies. It's always, like, white folks doing no psycho folks. Bullshit. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was growing up, we did trick-or-treat. But the memory that I have is... I remember stuffing them. They were like the older kids. They came by and stole our bags and stuff. Like, they would always do it. You had to look out for stuffing them, like, during Halloween, because, you know. But now it's funny because nowadays, you know, the way the neighborhoods are set up, it's just totally different, man. It's not even really like a neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like,
how'd you get got for your candy, though?
I mean, yo, these dudes was bigger than us, man. They were like, we were like, you know, like maybe 8 or 9, and they was like 14 and 15, and they run around with like them scream masks before the scream masks became popular.
And hoeing you.
They just run around and just snatch candy. Like, snatch your whole bag.
Was it black or white?
They was black.
Oh, okay.
We was in the projects, man. You know, you gotta watch out for stuff in them.
Shut the fuck up, friend.
Other memories I have is my neighbor, especially in my predominantly black neighborhood, the lights were out, so wasn't that many people really participating in candy. True. Where you could just walk around door to door anyway.
That's why I used to fuck with white people in their neighborhoods. Like, I used to hang out with this little white guy named Jeffrey Melton and Jesse Feedback. Literally, those are their names.
Know, his last name was Feedback. You did?
I was going to ask you if you knew
with Feedback's little sister.
Yeah. Feedback. I kicked him in the nuts one time. He shot me with a water gun. I didn't want to be shot with no water gun. I gave him a good heave-ho right to the nuts, bro.
Oh, boy.
But I used to fuck with them. It was like
ain't got
dope.
No kids now,
Jeffrey Melton and them, man. It was like cool hanging with them white kids, bro, because I was like, my mama did the best she could do. But it was like when I used to go to their houses, bro, and I'm like, these motherfuckers got TVs. Play not to be funny, we was lucky to get a Nintendo. These niggas would have a choice of consoles.
ColecoVision.
I mean, everything. Then it's like, you know, in my household, when we would go to the refrigerator, like, we may have enough food to make a sandwich. Yep. But you ain't getting no chips, nigga. Mm-hmm. If you getting juice, I mean, it's Kool-Aid. You know, it's rough. You go to these nigga house, they got the 25-pack chip thing. Ain't got
variety,
like
assortment.
Bro, I'm looking in here, I'm like, man, they cupboard is full. And it's like, bro, I was like, different. I love going to white folks' house. The shit was, but you know what's so funny? It's like, I guess because of the way my mom loved me, like, I still never looked at it as like they had it better than me. Mm-hmm. It was just like something that I hadn't experienced. Yeah, it was just a different level for it.
They had more shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was important to do that, and I'm off subject, but I had a homeboy who grew up the same way. He was from Trinidad. So he grew up poor, and then he moved to the D.C. area, and he was like, when he moved to D.C., all he ever saw was, like, white people that looked rich or had money. He never saw black people in Baltimore with money. Mm. So he was like, he, what's the word?
Associated.
Good. He associated, man, I'm, If she ever moves to Dallas, the level in the room is like it's just raised. A basic word. You know, I'm a little inebriated, so I'm off my game a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So then it comes to me. But, you know, it's like, what was I saying, though?
The guy from Trinidad.
So he associated wealth with white people. So he grew up and he started dating white women.
Yes.
And almost to a point to where one time we had a discussion and he slipped up and said something like, I think I showed him a picture of a white girl. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh yeah, that's my type. And I was like, oh, okay then. And at that time I didn't know his wife was white. Ooh. But he's like, oh yeah, that's my type, whatever. But he would always speak about white women as like here and black women here. And then if he did like a black woman, he would say something like, oh, you know she fine if I'm liking, if I'm saying this black woman fine. So it was like, bro, and I think about like the lines that we cross and experience and how important it is to still know who you are throughout that whole ordeal. Like, that's fucking difficult. I was thinking about you the other day because a lot of times you in those meetings and you're always around these white people. And it's like, how is it for you to, like, get your voice out there? Is it hard? Do you feel like it's hard? Do you feel like you have to be soft-spoken, not to be, like, the angry black woman in the room when you're talking about policies or whatever that you're trying to help in the Tulsa community?
Two things. I look up to Frank Underwood from House of Cards because of how deliberate and intentional he is. So I like study him. Right. Yeah. So that's one.
Okay.
But two, just based on my previous experience as a senior leader in a majority white organization, mm-hmm. I think I'm more confident in just speaking out because I've always had the mic. Yeah. You know what I mean? But sure. Because, you know, I have locks. When I've spoken up against or spoken truth to other people, and then they dial back, and I didn't mean that, or you don't have to be angry. Yeah. It's like, okay, how do I want to be perceived in this moment so I can be heard?
Yeah.
Do I want to come off as the scary black woman? You know, just is it worth saying that, or how do I get around it? So it's like a game of chess to me. But the fear of speaking up is not as prominent as it was like if I was 22.
Okay. Now this is the funny thing about it though. I feel like we should be allowed a space to be angry and black sometime. Mm-hmm. Think about all the shit we put up with.
Right. Yeah.
Microaggressions, multiple ones. To have to deal with, like, you know what? Like, not to be funny, when I don't know what I was talking about on the podcast, and it may have been off the air when Shauna was here, but I was giving her, like, perspectives the way black people view white people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of these basic things, like, not to be funny, like, if we saw a white girl, we're going to be like, you may use words like Becky. You know what I'm saying? Or you may relate them to, like, fetishing over black men. Or you may relate them to, you know, having that certain type of privilege that look, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes will get you, that no matter how beautiful you are as a black woman won't get you. And it's those things that we know. And it's funny because it's like they don't know those things. And that's how I kind of tied, and I'm getting off subject again, but that's what I kind of tied it and correlated it with Dove. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Dove, I don't always feel like everything that happens that people think it's racist, it's not racist. I think it's more so like white people really have a privilege to where they don't have to worry about the shit that we have to worry about. They have no concerns for it. And it's not to be funny, if it's not on the channel that they watch and they don't give a shit, they ain't talking about it in white churches.
Exactly.
So it's like when she was saying that shit, I was like, it's not that they're racist. They just don't fucking know. Yeah. We have to know what white people like, what they don't like, because we got to know how to play the game when we go into corporate America. We got to know how to play the game when we go into an interview. We want to go in restaurants. I know a lot of times I go with Arteezy. We go to a 5-star restaurant and she want to take a picture of the presentation because she blogs and she does all of that. I'm like,
Don't do that.
I know we go to these places all the time. I know we good, and I know that white girl over there just did the same thing that you want to do, but we ain't gonna be viewed that same way. That's the kind of shit that we have to worry about, is being black, that white people don't have to worry about, which leads to certain days of being that angry black person.
Yeah, I think that really, you know, there's a lot of things in the history that we've dealt with that I guess gives us the.
Did you hit a blunt?
What's that?
Nigga, you are smooth as shit today.
I'm always smooth.
I mean, you normally smooth, but you like.
Yeah,
smooth. It's like chocolate cake right and somebody drizzled some shit on that motherfucking added some fruit. Cake. Yeah.
Stop it, man. You're embarrassing. No, but seriously, though. You know, I think that we, because of everything that we've been throughout history and even today, not even just history, but I think we have the right to have that angry streak. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think we have to be a little bit more calculated on how we communicate that, because we don't want people to miss the message. That's what's happening a lot, and I know we're going to get to it with some of the topics we're talking about. We are getting so off topic and off subject with what the issues are, and more focused on You know, like I think we talked about the last podcast, content versus intent.
Yeah.
We so focus on, like, for example, if I come in here and I say, man, my wife pissing me off, I'm about to kill that bitch.
Yeah.
You're going to be focused. Oh, man, Frank, why you calling your wife a bitch?
Nigga, he just said he's going to kill her.
Right, exactly.
That's what my mom went to.
Exactly. So we're so politically correct and focus on what that is versus what the real issues are.
True.
That's what's happened with Colin Kaepernick and everything else.
Yeah.
So I think that that's just something that we do here lately. And I think it distracts us from what the real issues are.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that's going on with black folks, particularly that gives us, to me, in my opinion, the right to be upset.
Yeah.
But I have to be real calculated on when I express that and who I'm with when I'm expressing that.
Can I get your phone number? This nigga's talking smooth.
Hey, man.
I'm just
look, I'm about to bring it down an octave in the next 5 minutes.
No, too. Now this, you know, I'm gonna throw you for a loop real quick. I'm going to Ashley because this is a topic that I've talked to Ashley about, interracial dating. And it's funny because we're
interracial dating.
You know
expert.
What I'm saying? But it's funny because it's like when you talk about interracial dating, you normally think about a black guy, white woman, black guy. You don't really think black woman, white guy.
Right.
So Ashley is married and she's married to a white man.
White Mike, what they call him.
Yeah, white Mike. And he cool. But the funny thing about it is when I first heard or found out that you was married to a white guy, I was like, I wouldn't have never thought it.
That's what everybody says. He was the first white guy I ever dated.
That's what I'm saying. Period.
Or a non-black person.
That's what
period.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I saw it, I was like, nah, man. And it wasn't even no nah, like whatever, but it's nah, like if you saw Sanaa Lathan with a brother, or if you saw Nia Long with a brother, you're going to be like, man, that's like a soul sister. Like, yeah, that's a sister. Yeah.
That was the narrative. How somebody from college at an OU Texas one weekend was like, you know, you were so pro-black, I would never picture you with a white guy.
So what is it like? Because I've asked you.
Yeah.
I was like, when things come up, you know, like right now, it's like a height of racial society right now, and it's like,
everything,
do you guys openly discuss these things? Is he,
yes.
And the things that he doesn't know, is he willing to listen and try and be empathetic to that position?
So first and foremost, what I would tell people is, like, I'm going to be Ashley anywhere, and I'm able to do that with him. So, you know, if I wasn't able to do that, it wasn't going to work. I navigate life as a black woman, even at home. And my husband, I think that just based on how he grew up and people he grew up around, you know, there's been a level of consciousness that I would say increased in college, and especially when he started teaching basically 100% black students.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing inequities in terms of how at this black school, it's like, oh, it's cool if 8% of y'all in the whole grade pass the state test.
Yeah.
So just, like, being angered at that, I think because we're both in education, you know, we talk about those things. I think when we talk about race, he talks about leveraging his privilege as a white male to speak up in those spaces and being more bold. So it's never a day when we don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not like we don't take off hats and things like that. It's just like, okay, we're here to do this work. And he reads nonfiction, I read fiction.
Yeah.
And he's constantly looking at, okay, how are we gonna disrupt the system? So but not in a wankster way. I don't like wanksters. I need you to be yourself. You're white.
Yeah.
You know,
I've always said that too.
None of the wanksters now.
I need her to be straight up.
Right.
Yeah. She can even have one of them 90s booties, like the long teardrop booties. She ain't even gotta have one of them fat asses like they got today. I take the old model.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that shit.
So that's how we vibe.
So now you hear a lot of guys. It was a guy the other day, and I may have already said this on the podcast. It was a black guy that called in to Breakfast Club. And when he was on there, he was like, I'm with a white girl. He's like, I've been with this white woman for a couple years. He's like, I love her. I care about her. She loves me. And I think the girl was wanting to take it to another level, but he was like, I want to be with a black woman.
Right.
He's like, when I have a baby, I envision myself having a chocolate baby that looks like me.
Mm.
He was like, and Charlamagne, and it was like, but do you love her? And he's like, yeah, I love her. She's a dope woman. He's like, but this whole movement that's done happen, it makes you think back, and it makes you be like, should I? Or it makes you feel more empowered. You know what I'm saying?
To be, do this.
Yes, what I'm saying.
Forever.
Exactly. So that was my question. So, like, is with this whole movement of being, everybody's pro-black now, everybody has natural hair. Like, people like myself and you, we've been doing this shit for years. But it's like, you see the movement now that it's happening, like, where people are turning back, like, really looking at themselves and trying to find out who they are and where they come from. So in this whole period, like, how is that for you, you know, still being with Mike and making this work? Because I know if you're like me, you're changing and your mind is evolving and you're thinking differently almost every other day at this age.
Yeah. The thing I would say I've experienced the most, so you know that James Baldwin quote where he's like, to be conscious in America is to be in a constant state of rage. Mm-hmm. The rage has hit a peak. So, but it's not like I look at Mike and I'm just like, oh, I can't believe I'm Olivia Pope in it like that. So it hasn't shifted.
Scandal.
That may be the name of the podcast, man. Olivia Pope.
Olivia Pope.
It hasn't shifted how I engage with him, but he has had to adjust to my like frustration. Like a group that we're with, and I'll keep it anonymous because we're still there.
Yeah, cool.
I'm just like, I can't stand being in the same room with them because they don't want to learn. And I was talking about white people and he knew it.
Yeah.
So like he has to deal with my very real frustration
at
groups of people that look like him and hear it. And he receives it.
But and that's good, though. And that's funny. And I shout out to Shauna Monahan because it was the same thing. Like the other day she was talking about her husband who's a cop. And like she was giving out her number for therapy. And I was like, well, is this your cell phone number or is this like... whatever. I was like, 'cause I'm telling you from Freaky Friday episodes and women being on the podcast, dudes, depending on how the woman's voice sounds or if she's talking about sex, niggas is looking them up.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I was like, so I don't know what number you want to give out. And she was like, well, this number is cool. And she's like, if somebody did stalk me, and she's like, I have a big husband and he works for DPD and he'll shoot you dead. And I said, your husband's white. This is a black podcast. I was like, you may not want to say that. I said, what you probably should say is I have a husband that can protect me. And he will enforce the law. And if you break the law and you continue to break the law in an aggressive manner, he will shoot you dead.
He will do
it's
his job.
It's a protocol.
He'll do his job.
I was like, you can't say that on a black podcast at the height of this tension right now. They would disregard everything you've said prior to that. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, I know. But that's that part of not really understanding of not really the privilege of not really worrying about what you got to say.
Right.
Or what you have to say or what you're about to say or how to offend somebody.
Right.
And that's an interesting thing because, you know, I think some people... and I would probably, I don't know your husband, but I would think that he is very aware of his privilege as a white person, especially white male. White male privilege is, you know, the most prevalent top privilege that there is. But there's some people, especially white males, who don't even understand what white privilege is. And I'm like, how can you not? But they don't have to understand it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's something that they don't necessarily have to learn about because the whole world is designed for them to benefit from it. And that's what the privilege is, you know? So maybe if the whole world was designed to benefit from me being a black man, I wouldn't think about it either. It's just an unconscious thing. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
That's why you saw them show up for Trump, because he shows them we're going to do everything we can to stave off this rise of the global majority, which is black, brown people.
Black and brown people.
Their fear of the takeover, because minorities are multiplying, is why they flock to Mr. 45.
Right. And that's why they're making, well, his whole thing about making America great again, that's just coded language. We know what that means.
Do you feel like you can even change this, though? Like, when I continue to hear, like, all these political fights and debates and what's right, what's not, what's good, what's bad, who's right, who's wrong, black is better, white is better. Like, I even feel like it's now getting to a point to where we've gotten so tired of, like, white rhetoric that we're almost starting to look like them.
Like, we're starting to look like them?
Meaning, like, some of the things that we say, some of the, like, the way people view... like, not to be funny, if I hear certain black people talk about Trump and white people at this point in time, it's no different than me hearing a racist white person talk about a black person.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
Like, it's that strong with certain people. Mm-hmm. Like, they just don't fuck with white people.
Yeah, I haven't read the article. Yeah, I really need to, though, but the last time we were podcasting, King brought up the article that black males are the white people of the black race. Did you ever get a chance to read that article?
I read that.
Okay, now I want y'all to explain that to me. And she gonna probably be able to break it down too.
Okay, well, because
you
let,
told me,
let
but
let,
I had a lot of shit
please,
going on.
Please, Ashley, please.
Just like a high level overview. I don't know if y'all read Very Smart Brothers, but it's a, I think it's two or three black authors from the DMV, who write articles. And it was an attention grabbing headline talking about, you know, or the analogy of black men are the white people to black women because of misogyny that's rampant in our community, the violence against black women on, you know, at the hands of black men, which of course, like institutionally, you all, the black monolith male, you know, doesn't have the power to put the boot on our necks the way white people have done us. But they did draw some great things to look at in terms of how black males treat us black women.
Mm. Interesting.
Most of the black males I know that aren't, like, who don't ascribe to being feminists,
yeah,
could not get past the title. So they hung on to the title and the argument was lost versus the very valid points.
And that's the hard part. But the thing about it is, I want, just from just giving that high overview, I can see why somebody could draw that conclusion.
Yeah.
I really can, because. And it's seemingly the more successful black men, it's almost like they are. I'm telling you, it's like the more we elevate, it's almost like the more you start looking for white women. Or white women is all you see.
Right.
And it's funny because I even told Arteezy, I was like, if me and her broke up and we stopped talking, I was like, I don't know one black girl that I know right now in my circle or outside of that I would be like, I can fuck with. Because
right.
I'm picky.
On that level. Yeah.
I'm picky, bro. Like, I've had like 3 girlfriends my whole life, and I just fucked them between the rest of the time because I'm so picky. Because it's like, I need somebody who's gonna be understanding. Because I'm the type of motherfucker, bro, I'm gonna do my shit whether you like it or not,
irregardless.
And I'm gonna give you the option where I say, if you want to break up or you want to leave, you can do that.
Yeah,
that's who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So cool. But it's funny to say that, like, with the interracial thing, because, like, people, I was having this discussion earlier today. With me right now, when people hear me talk pro-black stuff on the podcast or talk about how much I love black women or having a dark-skinned baby, people be like, hey, bro, you know, if you end up with a white girl, especially if you blow up, people gonna be like, hey, you fell off, bro. Right. You one of them dudes now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, that's a lot of pressure, bro.
Yeah.
What if I end up liking one?
Yeah. Or really, loving one.
That's what, like, one. You. Like, mm-hmm. I, like, not to be funny, I never questioned Ashley when I saw her marry a white dude. Because I knew it was going to be, you know, the only person I even know you being with is my homeboy Brandon.
Mm.
That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I know you had other boyfriends, but you weren't that type of person that's out with just anybody. So it's like, when she did, I was like, okay, that's cool. So sometimes I'd be like, man, maybe I feel this way. I've cared about a white girl before, but I never took it further because of the whole stigma.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've left a lot of white girls in the back. Because I was like, nah, I ain't about to bring her.
Can't do it.
And then it's like you start feeling bad because it's like you smashing them and you eating in these little tucked away places, but you ain't never bringing them around your mama.
Yeah.
You ain't never doing, like, what's that nigga name? Gerard Carmichael. He was talking to this. You seen his last stand-up? 8, I think it's called 8.
I didn't see it.
But he did a stand-up and it was a brother in the crowd, and he was like, fuck, it's hard being black. He's like, do you know how fucking hard it is being black? He's like, it's hard being black. He was like, this guy right here, and he was talking to the guy in the crowd. He's like, this guy right here. He's like, it's fucking hard. It's hard. It's hard. He's like, that's your girl? It was a white girl next to him. He's like, how hard is it being a black man? He's like, is your mama alive or your mama dead? He's like, my mom dead. He said, you see what I'm talking about? He was like, if his mother was alive, he wouldn't be sitting here with her. And it's all those decisions that we have to make.
Yeah.
Worried about how society's gonna view us, and even worse, how black people gonna treat us, because we judge like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
all the dirt we do, all the shit we do,
we're canceling people out. There's so many questions, you know, like the hypotheticals on Facebook, you know, is this person, can we look up to this person, or can you be woke and be with a white person?
Yes.
And I know there are some people who dismiss me, and it's fine. My work stands for itself.
It
you
does.
Know, you're not going to stop me from doing what I do. Yeah. Being with a person of another race
who's willing
doesn't
to do those
negate
same
my
things.
Experience, because I can't. I mean, I'm black.
Yeah.
Right.
Every day of
no matter
the week.
What.
So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I think that's difficult, too. I mean, because especially I think men are more critical than females are. So when you have a man who, I mean, even just throughout history with all of our, like, you know, what's that, Frederick Douglass, you know what I'm saying, married white woman. Of course, it was his second marriage, but still, like, you have people who even question those individuals' level of downness and wokeness because they married white women. And I think that the biggest thing is people start to question, you know, who you are as an individual because you're married to this individual, you know what I'm saying?
As long as a white woman, if I'm dating a white woman or married one, as long as she's willing to try to understand, that's all I ask, man.
And as long as I don't lose whatever because that's the thing, I think that people see, okay, well, you married to a white person, male or female, so you know, there's a certain level of your wokeness that's going to be questioned, because at some point your thoughts or your mentality is going to come in conflict with that individual. So when you don't lose that, then I think that people might even, you know, give you more of a consideration of, okay, you know what, say, you all right, like, Ashley, you good. Like, you being married to a white man didn't change who Ashley was and her mindset about being a black woman and everything that she was, you know what I'm saying, trying to ascribe to. But I think that that's what happens with people. They start to say, oh, well, maybe they're being a little bit diluted because of the mentality of a white person, spouse or whatever.
Yeah. So how was it like with the family, like in the first introduction with the family, his family?
So what's crazy is, and I think I shared this the first time I was on your show, I met him in 06 at Georgetown during an internship.
You did.
And I met his parents then. So they knew of an Ashley. It wasn't romantic. We didn't know we would see each other again. Yeah. So when we rekindled after an OU Texas in 2011, our parents both knew of each other. So it was just like, oh, all right, y'all are actually going to date. I don't think at the time either of our parents thought it was serious until we made the decision to move to the same city. So there was never, like, his parents, it was never a, oh my goodness, you're dating a black person or any, like, no opposition or anything like that. And if it has been from extended family, I haven't met them or, you know, they're not bold enough to say anything to my face. But, yeah.
So, you know, Emmitt Smith, you hear what Emmitt Smith recently said about the whole thing with the NFL and how that's going. First of all, a lot of people was nervous about it. You know, they was like, I'm surprised he said it. They were surprised, not nervous about it, which I was kind of surprised with it, too. But with this whole NFL thing, the thing that I keep thinking about, even when I was watching the Texas OU game yesterday, I was telling Arteezy, I was like, look at these. This, and these are the conversations that black people have in their house. So white people, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm about to give you some white insight that you could be a fly on the
white
wall.
White insight.
Black. I'm telling you. Check this out. When I was sitting there watching the game and I saw all these white people rooting for these teams, I was like, if they took all the black people, it's just crazy how you watch them root for all these black people when you know somebody in that stadium before that has said niggas who kneeling. They probably been talking Oklahoma and Austin and Texas, is these are some of the racist fucking states. But it's crazy how they cheer us on, and then if we hurt or if we speak out against whatever or anything outside of sports, like, we're not good enough to talk in that arena.
Stay in your place. Stay in your place.
And, like, with Emmitt Smith talking about this whole, like, slavery, the way it seems, it's the same way. Even in high school, the way they lied about our weight and the way they sold our height and the way they did look for the fastest person. Like, football is literally, the only difference between slavery now and football now is they pay you to fuck your body up. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, they used to sell you, which is still a trade when they trade your ass.
Yeah, no say.
You know what I'm saying? You had no say. But now it's like you're still making pennies on the dollars to the billions of dollars that these owners are making. Mm-hmm. And these motherfuckers are retiring at 35 and barely can walk. Right. Like my weed man said, he was like, you pay these guys to run into each other, have these collisions all the time, and you make their body work this way to take those collisions and give that, you know, that blowout to somebody.
You pay them to do that.
You pay them to do that. And after 12 years, their body no longer, you know how much your body gets used to that contact? Mm-hmm. And then to take that away from it, your body falls apart because it's not, you know, being tested anymore. It's not, you're not training to continue having those impacts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you just see these dudes fall apart. You got Ray Lewis out here with his hands he's consistently throwing up a sign.
Talk about Ray Lewis.
God bless Ray, man.
God bless him.
God bless
God
him.
God bless him. That's all I'm going to say.
He's up off the pomade and that black spray.
But you know, the funny thing is he even mentioned that. I don't know the name of the show. Is it Nick and Chris?
On what?
Nick and Chris, Chris Carter and that Nick dude.
Yeah.
It comes on before Undisputed. But he even mentioned during the conversation he had with Chris and him about how when it comes to, and it's something that we talked about before, how we don't air out family business. He mentioned that.
Yeah.
But, bro, that's what you've been doing.
Been doing that shit, bro.
That's what you've been doing. So what are you talking about? You know, you don't air out family laundry, but that's what you've been doing, man. Talking crazy about Colin Kaepernick and all this other type of stuff.
Yeah, Ray Lewis.
I tell you, I read the statements that Emmitt Smith made, and I thought it was really interesting because I think exactly the same way. Yes. And I'm not torn, but I'll say this. He is in the perfect position to say that because he ain't playing in a league.
Yeah.
Them bros that's playing, that's getting salaries from the people that's talking greasy, I think it's a little bit more of a conflict.
But this is the thing about it, bro. If we literally could just be united in a great, like, do you know how powerful it would be?
Diddy wants to start a league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know how powerful it'll be just to not, like, be like, hey, man, like, literally be powerful to where if you're like one of the motherfuckers who've been in the league 10 years and you're making all that bread and you got like $60 million in the bank. If we all could literally come together where even the young players who ain't making that bread yet be like, hey, man, well, I'll cover you $180,000 this game.
Right.
But let's just all of us sit out this one fucking time.
One game.
Just
one Sunday.
Show the impact.
Just
of
one
just
Sunday.
One
Sunday.
No disrespect to white people. Y'all have some great athletic people. But that's why y'all have to get monikers like the Great White Hope. Because every black person is, we see them as athletic and great. And They got to do all that shit. They know one, that. Just 1 week of no black athletes.
That's 80% of the league.
And who the fuck you cheering for at that point? Mm-hmm. A high school basketball team. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Like, literally. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Like, the elite white dudes in the game are not even better than the niggas on the bench.
Yeah, that's true.
Real talk.
Yeah.
Let's just be real.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's funny. I mean, we're not going to go into the whole Eminem thing right now, but it's
no,
it's,
jump it's, right into it.
No, but I'm saying it's the same type of thing because, like, back in the day, I remember I'm a little older than y'all. But back in the day, I remember Dennis Rodman made a statement about, after they played the Celtics, he made a statement about how if Larry Bird was a black dude, yeah, he'd be just an average player. But since he's white, you guys exalt him as this great white hype. And then, Isaiah Thomas, he kind of seconded that argument. And that was a big thing. Like, they were talking so bad about Rodman and Isaiah because they said this. Yeah. But that's the truth, though. And it's the same thing with Eminem. If Eminem was a traditional, or if he was a black rapper, mm-hmm, I mean, he's still not. Don't get me wrong. Eminem is nice. But if he was a black rapper,
he'd be the greatest of all time in somebody's eyes.
Possibly. Or he'd just be another rapper.
Yeah.
You know. Now, his topics.
True. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, his topics are different. I mean, because he's coming from a different perspective. Yeah, he is. But since, are we jumping into it?
Yeah, we can jump right into it.
Okay, this is what I'm going to say, and I'm tired of this shit. And it's really the same thing as the football thing. Mm-hmm. Why are they even kneeling? Why are they kneeling? Why did Colin Kaepernick kneel? They're kneeling because Colin Kaepernick kneeled. They just deciding to take the silent protest this kind of way. Mm-hmm. But why is Colin Kaepernick kneel? What was his why? Nobody's talking about that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with this shit, and this is us now.
Okay.
This is the shit that bothers me. Eminem said what he said. This motherfucker hates Trump. It's clear.
Yeah.
He hates Trump.
Yes.
But all we gonna do is say, oh man, you just worshiping this motherfucker because he white. You ain't even thinking about it. We totally changing the content of what this man's talking about. You know, that whole because content versus intent. Yeah. You know, we making it about something else. But that's we the guilty thing of the same shit they doing.
But that's what I'm saying, and that's the thing I feel shit, like, man, with black people too, bro. Like, we come literally on, always act. Sometimes I agree with white people on the extent of, we always asking for something. Like, sometimes we asking for shit that we don't even belong to us. I understand reparations. You can keep talking about that.
We need that shit.
We do need that. That's why I'm about to say, we need that and deserve that. Like, we should. I mean, I don't care if it's as small as every black kid gets to go to college for free.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
That would set up the world for be a better place and create a better, you know, some more wealth in the black community. But I do feel like with this whole Eminem thing, we want black people. It's like we want allies on the white side.
Right.
And then when we get somebody to speak out, we like, oh, this nigga speaking on it. Yeah, he white. And it's like, well, motherfucker, what if this nigga was, do you want him to be racist and come in there talking about all the poor black people and the ratchet shit that we do? Right. Or do you want this nigga to address some shit that we've been talking about addressing? And then, not to be funny, his white fans, mm-hmm, that he can manipulate, who follow him, he gets to get them to thinking, and then maybe it's some kind of change somewhere, as opposed to just starting more bullshit.
Black people ain't
never satisfied, it seems like.
Exactly. And what if Eminem, because I believe in him, he's a, you know, I appreciate the skillful lyricist and top, you know, everything that people rap about. What if he was on the other side and was, instead of freestyle about us, you know what I mean? You'd be wanting to kill this dude.
Cause you know, he'll probably say some of the foulest
that's
shit.
That's what I'm saying.
Cause it's a lot of negative shit that can be said.
He hates the man. Let him
you know, do that.
Let him,
man,
be equal opportunity hater, and let him, you know, use his platform to say what he got to say. Now we're gonna say, well, if he was, you know, Professor Griffin saying the same thing for 2 months, come on, man, let him live, man. For real, that shit. It's the same thing that we're doing with the whole Colin Kaepernick NFL thing.
Yeah,
we're just not paying attention to what the issue is. We're just talking about how we feel about it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
That bothers me, man.
Nah.
I think that I agree with the rationale that we need to, like, listen to his message. I think some people are like, well, why haven't you noticed what, like, Dead Prez has been saying, or like other indie artists? And it's like, okay, well, on a practical note, they're not playing it on the radio. So unless you know about less commercial rappers, you're not going to hear it anyway. So that's one.
Two,
what I'm constantly telling Michael and different people, the work of white people is for white people.
Yeah.
So Eminem does need to speak the truth to his people.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be on our shoulders. That shouldn't be on our backs. I shouldn't have to beg you to honor my humanity. So you go ahead and rap it. I'm not going to do the Matrix or, you know, have an orgasm over it. I think it's great.
You're not gonna have an orgasm?
I don't think it takes away from our classic rappers who've been saying, speaking against the establishment forever. But let that man talk about the president, and let people be talking about it.
That's his truth. But I think that's the same thing with Colin Kaepernick, because you know a lot of people's like they looked at him as like a light skinned dude taking a stand.
Exactly.
It was more so about, you know, he's in a position of power to where, and not to be funny, a lot of people get mad because it could be a local dude like myself doing what Colin Kaepernick is doing and nobody shows up to wherever I send the address at. Every fucking week it could just be like my mama and a couple of my homegirls and my homeboys. It's like eight people out there. I'm just kneeling. And then I see Colin Kaepernick just fucking decide to do the shit. And then I would be like, oh, I've been doing this shit for 5 years on the corner. Yeah. And I only got my mama then still fucking with me. You know what I'm saying? So some people be jealous because their message is not as big or as important as somebody else's. Right. And it's like, you can be. You know what I'm saying? Believe me, bro. I done been through that with the podcast where I'm doing something and like all this shit happening. And then I'll see somebody else and I'm like, I had to stop looking because I was like, this shit is fucking garbage. What the fuck? But sometimes it's people's timing. Sometimes people know people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're surfing off just knowing somebody, that shit only gonna last for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So sometimes that's why it's important to just literally be like, stay in your lane. You know what I'm saying? Focus on what you're trying to do and keep it moving, man. That's all you could do, bro.
That's all you could do, man.
That's it.
But listen, let's go back to real quick to Emmitt Smith and what he said.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't, you know, something that he said is something that I've, for some reason, I can't tell you when.
Hold on, you driving back today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna wrap it up in a little. Okay. We almost done anyway.
But something that Emmitt Smith said about the combine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking like that for a long time, and I honestly, I can't remember who even brought it to my attention. I was reading something, and they said it's really aligned with the same thing as, you know, back in the day when they used to measure the slaves and stuff like that. And I was like, damn, I never looked at it like that. But essentially, that's what it is. You know what I mean? I'm trying to measure your knees and how fast you're running, your measurements, how high you jump.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing as back in the day when they used to be on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Man, slaves and deciding if they're going to make this investment in this slave to do whatever I need to do, you know, do for my cotton fields or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, it's the same thing. It's just a different form, really. Yeah. You know, and I never looked at that in, until like maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. And I was like, man, I can't even look at the combine the same way.
Yeah.
Run this 40, nigga.
Yeah,
you know how fast you run, how high you jump,
how many
bench presses can you do?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's how big really are your hands? How big are your feet?
Yeah, all of that. I mean, they do. They take all the measurables,
your bones,
and then they measure that. What are they? The Wonderlic test. Yeah. They measure your intellect.
Yeah.
How smart are you?
Yeah.
Quarterbacks, how smart are you?
Mm-hmm.
Vince Young. They had a big thing about how Vince Young didn't score high in the Wonderlic test.
Oh yeah,
and they made it about that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Is that the same process for like Major League Baseball, soccer? Is it the same, or is it because football is more physical?
I think it's more because it is more physical. And they do have some kind of.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, they have some kind of camps. They do have a combine, but it's, I mean, you're in your clothes and you're running drills and stuff like for, you know, for basketball like you do in high school. But yeah, it's not as defined because of the collision process that takes place in the NFL. But
so why are they publicized more? Is it because of there's a fascination with the black male body, so we want to see the slave auction on the air? Because I can't think of the last soccer or Major League Baseball combine. I can turn and see those guys run their 40s.
Yeah. And walk them through that room. They showing it now where they walk them through the room and they measure them. Like if you go to NFL Network, like they're on there with nothing but like thin underwear on. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
Really interesting.
Thanks for illuminating.
And not to be funny, not all men are comfortable with even being in other places with men with just underwear on. And you got to do it in front of the whole world on TV.
Right. And you got to do it on TV. And then you got other people in the room.
Man, let's not act like these white dudes ain't looking at these niggas' dicks and they abs and they back. These are some of the most defined, ripped and chiseled black men in the country. Man. Just the way they fascinated over them back in slavery days, they fascinate over them now.
Exactly.
You see white dudes, I know when I was really in the height of like working out, white dudes walk up to you and be like, what you taking? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Genetics,
just
bro.
Just eating and fucking lifting, bro.
Yo, my brother, you know,
he ripped like a motherfucker.
Yo, he gets all type of hate texts about, man, you ain't natural and this, that, and the other. And you tell me, yo, bro, it's just, I eat right, I work out,
I told you,
3-4 hours a day, and it's genetics.
If a white person, I'm going to tell you, if a white person hates you, they go to the depths of the world to let you know.
Yes, sir.
Like I've said several times, watching porno and you see white dudes on there talking about some, that dick is fake, and they're like, nah, that nigga pulled that meat out the same way I pulled my shit out.
Look, God,
the shit look real to me. If it's just bigger than eyes, nigga. I mean,
well, I gotta,
like,
be fake.
And then you'll have a black dude to be like, nigga, really? Like, you watching porn and they be talking racist.
That's all
it's
you
like,
can think about.
Yeah, and it's like, why you watching this motherfucker dig down a white woman if this is the shit that you hate? Ain't nobody, unless somebody tying you to a chair and forcing you to watch this shit.
And that's if I'm thing. Watching a porno, the last thing I'm gonna say is comment on another motherfucking dick.
Like, how? And that's what I'm saying.
If there's too much going on,
I mean, there's two things I don't want to see when I'm watching a porno, man. I don't want to see a nigga's asshole or the back of his balls. I don't want to be nowhere back there. Don't want to see it. I ain't trying to see the shit at all.
Why you start talking about porn?
You know what? It's so funny that Rodney in here, man. Rodney, look at this motherfucker. Do you remember that time? I don't know who we was watching. When we was younger, we was watching a porno, and you said, damn, that nigga could donate some of that dick. I don't know who we was watching. That nigga was like, damn, that nigga dick. I said, god damn, bro. Yeah, man. Like, them motherfuckers be like, I mean, they literally like racist on there watching it. Just
oh,
like,
my like, goodness.
I ain't gonna watch it. But you know what I can't watch? I will not watch white men fucking black women in porn. I will not. It's almost like it's denigrating to watch, bro. Is that a word?
All the titles are horrible for
yeah,
one.
They, yeah. They
it's always so, a black home.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. This is a reality.
They trash or black. Yep. This, yeah. Or they fucking their face to where they like throwing up. And I'm like, yeah, that's disrespectful, man.
Look, I can't listen.
I mean,
man.
When we hitting the white bitches in the throat, we just hitting, we finessing them
you
motherfuckers.
You know what's weird about this
and
shit?
And they like that
and
shit.
And I know
too.
This is where the filtering becomes extinct. I'm going to be real open with y'all. It's hard for me to watch black women on porn, man.
Yeah.
Like,
what's
it's
the
hard,
reason, though?
Man. I what's can't,
the,
man.
Is it because, now, I'm going to tell you, I read an article the other day. The production is bad. The production is always worse for the most part if it's all black. Mm-hmm. And then, not to be funny, it's not a lot of attractive black porn stars.
No, you know what? It's not that, man.
I mean, you sure? That's one thing for me.
That's not what it is.
These motherfuckers look like they holding pistols.
Because the ones, I mean, nah, granted, don't get me wrong. Yeah, there are some chicks that should not be doing porn.
Yeah, they rough, man.
Just like there's some chicks that shouldn't be stripping.
Yeah.
Right? Some black women, white women, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But it's something in here, man. Like when I see a black woman on porn, like, it's just not the same, man, because I don't want to see a black woman like that. I got sisters and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? It's really weird. I mean, I can admit, because this is the reality is.
Yeah.
I really can admit that.
You
like,
can admit
it's
that.
Different for me.
Like, I mean, it's just like I watch
every
white,
other
I mean,
race.
I watch more white women because I seem like they're getting down.
Yeah, well, I see the black chicks get down, but it still feels weird, man.
Because
there's some black girls that, they are very, you
game
know.
The bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The presentation
for me.
That was the literal one of the things in that article. It was talking about the presentation and the quality of it.
Ashiness.
Yeah, you'd be like, come on, man.
No, but this, I mean, come on, man. There's some black chicks. Because, okay, let's say this.
The best black women in porn are the ones who are fucking with the white dudes, too.
Okay. And I can't watch that either.
That's what I'm saying. So you really don't get that crossover. Sometime you'll get it.
It's hard.
You know, if you got your production game right, like Lex, you know, like Lexington Steele, he's been in the game a while.
Yes.
You got a whole production team.
Got some Wesley Pipes.
Wesley Pipes, man, nah, ain't nobody trying to talk.
I heard his name before. I ain't seen him. Like, he got skills?
Nah, bro. He talked too much, bro. That nigga talk. Wesley Pipes? Hell yeah, right there. Right there. Suck that shit. Suck that. Yeah. Let me say that. Ooh, yeah. Ooh,
oh, no.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, that nigga just, he talked too much. One black one, he fucked a black woman one time. She was like, shut the fuck up, nigga.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to stop sucking this motherfucker.
Yeah.
He talked that much, bro. For the whole fucking thing, bro. He talked. That's all
that's
he do.
That's hilarious, man.
Is it? What you got on that paper, Ashley?
Nothing. Nothing important.
That's important. Right?
I think something you said earlier, you know, you're like, I don't think white people are like racist. They just don't know. But
some of them.
I was just writing about it's subconscious and implicit. Mm-hmm. Because we do, there's an author, Dr. Beverly Tatum, who wrote Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria?
Yeah.
And she talks about the smog. So for somebody to say, I'm not racist, is a lie. Like, whether you're racist or suffer from internalized racist oppression.
Yeah.
I don't think I've said that right. So
I wouldn't
there's
know.
The
it just
subconscious stuff
to
that
me.
Comes out. Or like the young guy in 10th grade who's like, I just like light-skinned girls. Or I just like white
True.
Girls. I don't know why. It's just my preference. It's like, okay, no. So let's unpack your internalized racist ideologies that you've embodied. What about yourself aren't you liking?
Yeah.
And or for the woman who said her husband can shoot people. Just things like that. No shade to her.
Yeah, sorry.
But there is, we can't say we're not racist because we live in a racist society, so you're going to get impacted.
It's just like just when people like say, I don't see color. Like, yes, I fucking hate.
Not to see color.
Huh?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. I hate when people be like, I don't see color.
Yeah, don't they?
How the fuck you don't see color?
Yeah. You blind, motherfucker?
Are you saying you don't see me? And you're saying your default is like a whiteness, like you yeah, wiping
you just,
us away.
Yeah, you just view me as whatever.
Yeah, that's just not the case.
Mm. So what was your thought on the, go ahead.
Oh no, so I was just saying that's what I wrote down.
So
bring that out.
Do, with you being married to a white guy, do, when you guys are out together, have you had any awkward interactions where people may feel more comfortable in the setting talking to you than they would if you were just by yourself?
I haven't actually looked at that. The reason I guess I haven't looked at that is while I'm an introvert and don't really like small talk anyway, I'm more outgoing and more prone to say something. So I haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to ask if I experienced anything adverse. And whenever there's a major white event, like the Republican National Convention, when President Obama was running for reelection, people were angry in Tulsa because it was a really, really successful Democratic convention. Yeah. This man just looked at us with contempt at the movies, and I thought it was funny because they were angry. So when those things happen, I think they look angry, or people will look at us because I look like a bona fide black woman. I'm not
bonafide.
This Barbie over here. I'm not, you know, self-proclaimed Oreo, and Michael looks like a white dude.
Yeah.
So I think people look at us and just are like,
huh?
Are they on a work day?
Like because
you know, are they on just a project? Yeah. It wasn't until
like
Andrew
you said,
came
he's
along.
Not that experiment. He's not that white guy that you can tell he's trying to pass for blackness,
right.
And you're not that black girl that look like you can be a typical, you know,
So yeah, no, I think people who would be more intimidated to talk to a black person are still that because I'm not over here just, you know, smiling and tap dancing for you to come walk up to me.
So I know it'd be tough. So having your son.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I love little man.
Drew Law.
I love it. It's perfect. So when you were in the process of, during your pregnancy, and you were having this interracial baby, like, did you have thoughts of, like, you know, how he's going to look and the thought process? Did you think ahead of, like, what you may have to tell him and as being a black man? Because he's going to be seen as a black man.
Absolutely.
Like, what are those thoughts? Like, are you ready for those moments?
Yeah, we talked about it a lot. I watched Imitation of Life. You know, long time ago. I don't know if y'all have seen the classic, but I would always tell my husband, I was like, I don't want any Sarah Janes running around here. So, you know, you're going to have to figure out, you know, what it's like to be raising a black child. You know, we want to make sure he has positive black male role models because you haven't walked a black male's shoes, and that's like a priority of Michael. Like, in addition to being his father, what does it mean to raise a black son? Yeah. What blinders do I need to remove?
Because you're actually going to be raising both of them.
Yep.
In a way, because he gonna lean on you for a lot of guidance of how to talk to him.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely always been part of the conversation, and I was happy that my son came out more melanated. Like sometimes, especially like now, you know, post summer, you wouldn't necessarily be able to know my son is biracial, and I just didn't want somebody. I didn't want him walking around thinking, you know, I'm light bright and damn near white, and then I get, you know, hit with the Tiger Woods reality that I'm still a nigga.
Right.
So, that's what we care about.
Man, that's all I got, man.
And when you talk about, you know, that's an important subject about the coolness, man, the cool gene. Remember?
Oh yeah, he wanted you to talk about how it was being like. Oh, you talking about her being a woman?
Yeah.
I don't know if female is appropriate with this feminist movement.
That's
you know, people come for. But being like, you mean just being a woman and being cool with so many guys, or being like a part of the. Like guys crew, because it's mostly guys here today.
Mm-hmm.
But you got, you know, it's like you fit in and you just
got that.
You're able to take the blows, you're able to crack back and crack jokes with the best of them. And it's kind of like, for me, knowing you, I think it comes more from growing up with older brothers.
True. I would say it comes from growing up with older brothers. I think back to our hometown and just like the vibe.
Yeah. It's real kickback. Because
I'm like,
all the time.
You know, my friend Rudy, like, I'm just the type of cool people that we grew up with, I think, is one thing.
You about to be out?
And then one of my former colleagues, these two white guys, came up with this perception matrix.
Yeah.
So picture the x-axis and the y-axis. And you can be a bro.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a yuppie, which means you're like in the fashion and whatnot. You can be a hipster.
Yeah.
And you can be a nerd. So they place you on this perception matrix. And I am a bro. I'm a full bro.
Yeah.
So I think that has something to do with it because I'm more relaxed. I do relate a lot. I mean, I have great girlfriends. I'm not one of those. I don't like women. I love women. But I just love kicking it. And I love tripping. I love laughing.
Yeah.
When I think about the guy friends that I have, that's what we do. We laugh. We trip. We talk about women.
How many wives and girls are you scaring? Because, you know, people, when you that cool, you scaring somebody.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times the home girl is sometimes seemingly cooler with the, you know, with the person's man than the people in a relationship. And it's like sometimes that you have that vibe, and it's like it could be, it's very hard to find a platonic relationship at this age.
Well, I'm a firm believer, which I need to, like, I guess, evaluate that in all of my friendships. But if I, if we can't, let me put it in my context. If my husband has a friend girl, a girlfriend, and she can't be cool with me, then she can't come around. So like me and Artesia, you know, I want to get to know her better. You know, and if we were in the same city, like I would want, like, people know it's not anything inappropriate because I want to be friends with both. So that's one.
That makes sense. That's a good one. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Because, I mean, I think that that whole like versus love thing, you know what I'm saying? When you like a motherfucker, they stick around for like a lifetime. Love fades, you know what I mean? Don't it?
Something like that.
How long and I think it's, sorry, one other thing I was just thinking about. There's this test, I forget the scale. I think it's like the Bendel scale, where it's like a theory or something where women in movies can't go 20 minutes without talking about another dude. So I think, like, you know, women, we do talk about like relationships and things like that. So it's probably maybe subconsciously, like, I enjoy just talking about other things, maybe trying to do like a psychoanalysis. I don't know.
I do feel like women get in their own way this day and time, more so than any day, especially when it comes to relationships.
Because
a lot of times, well, meaning like a lot of times you hear, it's a lot of things. First of all, everybody is expendable. Because of social media and all these dating apps, everybody's expendable. And I think sometimes people have, especially women, they have an expectation that's unrealistic for so many people. Like, everybody's not going to be able to live up to the expectations that you want them to. And to put that responsibility on every dude that you meet, it's almost like going out and, you know, you're dating, and every girl that you go on a date with, you're looking at them as wife material. Nah, bro. Within the first couple of minutes, you know, or, you know, few conversations of talking to somebody, you know what kind of potential they have or what they present if you're smart. But I do think women are aware. I think women in their own way, far as like just not getting out of their way, not allowing themselves for, and especially for black women, getting to a point of thinking outside the box of not just dating black men. As hard as it sounds, it's one of those things where it's like, as much as, like, I tell my mom this, as much as you want a black man, if black men ain't reaching for you or checking for you like that, then you gotta check somewhere else. And as much as black men seemingly hate that shit, it's like, these motherfuckers ain't stepping up to the plate out here.
We're reared to hold y'all down, though. So it's very hard to shake from that. Like, hold down your family, hold down your men. You know, that's very hard to shake from. And I even think, like, okay, how am I holding my men down, not being married to one of them?
But,
so that's hard.
But I think that's what I wanted to ask, because I know there's a certain number of females who are single these days. And they find it really difficult to get into the dating scene with somebody that might show themselves as a potential mate for, like, the long term. But I noticed that usually the female that's cool gets in there a little bit easier than the woman who doesn't have that information. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't really tap into what the interest of the individual is. And most of the time that's on a friendship level, which really, you know, elevates to another level.
On the flip side, though, being that cool friend can friend zone you really quick. Like, I was just thinking, I was taking an inventory of some dudes that we've been cool, but I was like, man, why did he never, like, shoot the J? Like, why didn't he try to, you know,
fade away,
take it to the next level? And maybe because I was so cool, he didn't see, like, Ashley's, like, interested in me. So
I think don't
friend zone yourself being too cool.
You can, and you can be that. It's funny because, like, with me and Artesia, when we first started, like, we were friends first. You know what I'm saying? And, like, she knew so much about me because when we worked together, it was like me and a then homeboy, and then she was like cat a corner. So when you come in, like, you see a movie and you get in your cubicles and you talking, shooting the shit, like, she was married at the time. And it was like, I would come in and be like, man, this girl, blah, 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 blah. And she'd just be like, this motherfucker. Or I would come in and talk to my homeboy. He done introduced me to somebody. I'm like, yeah, I smashed, bro. And it's like, she hearing all these stories. So it's like, when we actually ran in each other on the outside, and when I tried to shoot my shot at that time, she, like, she knocked me down because she was like, nah, I remember all this shit. I remember all this shit. But it was funny, too, because it was like, we were also friends to where even when we did start hanging out like that, like, we had the conversation the other day. I was like, I didn't expect anything from you because I saw you as a friend. And I know we went to counseling a couple months back, and the counselor asked us, well, she asked me, and she was like, well, she asked both of us, but she's like, how do you view each other? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I was like, I view her as a business partner. I was like, I view her as my girl. I was like, I view her as a friend. And then she was like, what do you view her as more so? And I was like, almost a friend. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, we were together. Before I knew her like 3 or 4 years. And then it was like, she got divorced, and then we hung out like a year and a half before we started really being like, hey, we together. Mm-hmm. And then even then, we were dating without a label. So it's like, it was a friend. And like, even times when we've talked about like going our separate ways, it's like, we always be like, hey, let's make sure we're honest or we're open about this, to where if we're going to do this, even I've said it, I'm like, you may not be able to be my friend tomorrow or the next week or the next month, but I still want your friendship. So mm-hmm. I don't want to do anything that I'm going to fuck this up so bad mm-hmm. to where you're like, hey, fuck this dude. I never want to see him again.
Yeah.
Because I can say right now, honestly, if that happened, I'd be fucked up. Like, to lose the relationship and the friendship. It's certain people you can't let go of.
Right.
Or if you do lose them, you do it because you care enough about them to not put them through that bullshit mm-hmm. of like dealing with seeing you but still not being what you may have wanted it to be. Nah.
And I honestly, I think that the friendship strengthens a relationship, because, you know, I was just talking about this with some of my coworkers.
Come on, LL Cool J.
Oh, my fault, man.
There you go.
That's much better.
Yeah. You see how you
can hear myself? Yeah. Oh,
you gotta put it to your mouth. Ain't a dick, brother.
Yo, shit, the bucket of this shit. But the thing is, you know, that friendship lasts a lot longer to me, because, you know, you'll hear about people who date and they always talk about the imposter. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, if you don't know nothing about me, I'm gonna put my best foot forward to yeah. try to get us in this relationship. But when you're friends first, like, you literally know everything about the person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when y'all end up getting together, there is no more of that imposter, you know, because they have a magnifying glass into who you were as an individual
yeah.
before y'all got into this intimate relationship.
Yeah.
So there's really no hiding. Whereas when they don't know, you know, you can be whoever you need to yeah. be to right. be, you know, right for that individual in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I think that's just that friendship just makes the relationship, when it ends up being that, a little bit more pure than if I just see you and I say, oh, I want to date you, because I can show you whoever I want, whoever yeah. I need to be to get us in a relationship. It's just not yeah. as pure as when the friendship starts. Mm-hmm. You know?
Man, your voice is like just almost today, bro.
That's that Blanco.
All right, man. Well, did you have something else?
I think I'm good.
Okay. I just yeah. wanted to make sure. I know everybody, Harp just left. You know what I'm saying? When he listened to the podcast, shout out to Harp. Thanks for coming through with the supplies, my brother.
Supplies.
That white Henny be little hidden.
Blanco.
Yeah, a little smoke in there. I can see it in there. Yeah. Well, Frank, tell them where they can find you on social media, man.
Oh, man, it's BlackGhost75. I don't know what the underscore is or nothing like that, but just search me, man.
Yeah, it's BLK_GHST75. 75.
Yeah.
Ooh, that
catch me on social media. And then we got the book company with the kids, melaninorigins.com. We had a good showing at the book fest yesterday.
That's what's
had
up.
A lot of interaction with some non-black folks, because yeah. I think they assume that our books are for black kids,
yeah.
but they're not. They're for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Books yeah. as windows, books as mirrors. You know, get a window into somebody else's culture. So
that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it was a good conversation. So Melanin Origins at .com, Twitter, everything. Facebook.
Yeah,
Instagram.
You're real lax.
Check us out.
I don't know how much you drink today, but you're real lax. We're going to find you on social media.
Just Ashley Sirrah, Sirrah. Okay. Regular Ashley.
That is a bet.
Regular Ashley.
And I'm going to go ahead and read this script, because if I try to freestyle it today the way I'm feeling, it ain't going to work. Be sure to keep up with all things The Reality Is by going to www.therealityis.com. Also, follow us at The Reality Is on Twitter, Instagram, Anchor, and Facebook. You can listen to previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Player.fm, Listen Notes, and more. If you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you would like to like for us to answer one of your questions from our perspective, be sure to email us at info@therealityis.com or call us and leave a message at 469-351-9681, and we will be sure to answer your question on the upcoming episode. Last but not least, be sure to leave us a rating or review on whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. As I always say, we don't care if it's a good review, we don't care if it's a bad review, we just want to hear from you. And as I always say, man, always remember to inhale courage to exhale success. Brandon, is he gone? Thank you for the tacos today,
tacos,
my brother.
Tacos off the chain.
Thank you, my brother.
Off the chain.
Rodney, thank you for the crown.
Yes.
You know, to keep the party going. Kayla Faye, thank you.
For the pictures.
Our real life.
Media.
Our real life walking black Barbie doll, a.k.a. Granny.
She's wavy.
Ashley, thanks.
Thank you.
I hope the trip back to Tulsa is a safe one. What the parents say? May God give you traveling grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Watch between like me and thee while we're absent one from another.
Mm-hmm. Do that. Frank.
Yo.
Hey, man, we got the event coming up October 28th, bro.
Yo, dashiki or not?
What are you wearing, T? He wearing a dashiki or just the Reality Is t-shirt?
Comb my hair or not?
The Reality Is shirt? Shout out to Rich and Jason, man. Gray, we look forward to you guys being down here. The homie Jakeem Gray going to be down here. Are you coming down here that weekend?
You're not going to be able to make it. I don't think so, but okay. I want to.
Well, if you do come, just know your name can be on the list. Don't worry about a ticket. You can be in. That's automatic. So if you do, you'll be in the building.
In the building.
All right, man. We out of here, man. Y'all have a good one. We'll see y'all on next week or talk to y'all on next week.
Peace.
Why your pussy so damn good, Miss Lady? Go on, put that booty up, baby, one on one. You know I'ma go crazy when your legs in the air. You know your panties never getting in the way. You know I kinda like it when you make me work for it.
Hey, you got me out of tight up, Scott.
Get that ass in the bed, I'ma lock the door. Shake that ass like boom chakalaka, boom chakalaka. We don't need nobody watching us. No eyes but you.
No. Kayla, don't listen to them. Kayla, you know it's love. Listen, I'm just saying they're all black people in Rhode Island.